Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show.
Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios talking everything American Horror Story. So happy to be back.
Yay!
I am joined, as always, by the lovely Sarah Huggins.
Hi.
Jillian Leff.
Hello.
And Oriana Leo.
Hello.
We are talking Season 3, Episode 9, called The Sacred Taking.
Mm. Episode 8, I think.
Oh.
Sign says 9.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I have a question.
If the sign is wrong.
Question off the top.
It's not my fault. Well, yeah, question off the top.
Are you really going to hold your mic or your earphones?
Yeah. Oh, that was the question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be holding my headphones like
David's
this the whole night.
David's wearing a fabulous hat for you listeners.
I'm wearing a hat.
That anyway. Very witchy hat.
Very witchy hat. Witchy hat. And my headphones don't fit with the hat, so.
He's recording like Mariah.
Yeah, like totally like Mariah.
So, thank you.
That's very cute.
I also sound like
we
her.
Missed everyone so much last week.
We did.
There was a hole in my heart without this show.
No, my Wednesday was so boring.
I know.
It was awful.
I had nothing.
Mine was really boring, too.
I'm so glad that we're all back.
I'm so glad I have something to do now.
Woo-hoo.
Let's jump right in. Such a freaking good episode to come back to right after a holiday break. I was really, really excited. I was happy to see Queenie. I'm glad that we started with that storyline this week when the episode started. And we're seeing her, like, walking through, like, under a bridge or, like, in a homeless commune.
The skid row of New Orleans.
I thought at first it was a flashback.
That's what it was.
Okay.
I'm glad we're on the same page. When they do have a flashback, they usually give us, like, a warning.
I
was like, well, maybe they'll give it to us after the flashback.
I was like, she is about to shank a bee in Detroit right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought,
she shanked a bee instead.
Yeah, she shanked a guy.
Yeah. She said that she needed a dark heart and that he had done something to, like, three schoolgirls and that Angela Bassett was going to be performing.
Madame Laveau.
Oh, Laveau. I was going to call her Lala Reese. See, I'm glad I didn't say
we
that.
We need to make you a cheat sheet, I think.
Just for
with
her
pictures.
And Kathy
yeah,
Bates.
With pictures.
Just for Angela Bassett and Kathy Bates, because their names are Lala too
and
similar.
Laveau. That's true. Yeah. They are very alike.
But she's performing a dark spell to increase Queenie's magic. Or her magic? Queenie's magic.
Well, that's what she claims.
She says.
Right.
Yeah.
We actually don't ever get to see the spell performed this week. But
she's sending her on an errand.
Right.
To do the dirty work she doesn't want to do.
I mean, it was pretty badass, though. She, like, stabbed this homeless guy and then ripped his heart out of his chest.
We got to see it from the other side. That was pretty gnar. How'd you feel about that, Jillian?
Well, since I love squirming in my chair while I watch these shows, I was watching like this, as Oriana always calls me out on. It was disgusting. We haven't seen something gruesome pretty much since the zombie episode. So we needed the gore.
I was happy
to see it. But then we see sort of Madison and Zoe swooping in as she's taking the heart out, sort of begging her to come back to the coven in the most relaxed way. They're like, you know, you could come back.
So true.
Like, it was weird. It wasn't like,
you should come back. You should think about it.
No, Madison's
like, no thanks.
Some bitches were mean to you. Get over it. That was her plea to come back to the coven.
I loved their beanies at the Vales a lot.
Which was much later, but yes, I agree.
Yeah. They were wearing beanies when they first saw her.
Mm-mm, they were wearing.
They're regular.
They were? Yeah. Oh. They had lots of...
And then we see Fiona in bed as the next scene.
Yeah.
Yes, we see the demise of Fiona. They did a really amazing job. The hair and makeup people did an incredible job making her look like...
Terrible.
Horrible.
She was knocking at death's door.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we find out she has spinal cancer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, her cancer has spread.
She's in so much pain.
Which I can't think of anything worse. That sounds more brutal.
Or that could be any more, like, intrinsic to you.
Right.
Your spine holds you upright.
Right.
So to have a cancer of the spine, it's like...
Good metaphor.
Right?
Or like simile.
It's just, you know, it's at your very core.
Yeah.
So I felt like they couldn't have picked a better type of cancer. I mean, that's a horrible thing to say, but for the character.
Right.
And although she's suffering, she says that love is the best medicine, and we find out that she is in love with the Axeman.
Deeply in love. I mean, she said later on in the episode that it's the first person that she's ever truly loved.
Yeah.
But she's going a little cuckoo. She doesn't want to fall apart in front of him, though. That's a real fear, which I think is really normal.
Oh, yeah.
But just I had written it down, and I want to make sure that I get to it. I couldn't believe Foxy when she goes, "Do us a favor and die by Thanksgiving."
I know.
I couldn't believe
she was
it.
Her stuffing. What was it? Her
so we don't
stuffing.
Have to deal with your horrible stuffing with raisins and whatever. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, daughter becomes doesn't fall too far from the
apple from the tree.
Pie doesn't fall far from the apple tree. It goes something like
that. I'm wondering though. I'm very curious as to if that was a delusion of Fiona's or if it actually was something that happened.
What do you mean?
Because it sort of happened like in a haze.
Yes. Right.
That conversation between Foxy and Fiona about Thanksgiving and her dying. So it could have been something that. She had imagined.
I kind of feel like
own.
It was. That's a good point.
That's a very good point. And we also, I don't think we're really are we sure? I should ask you guys. Are you sure how much of that, how much of the visuals of the Axeman and her being in her deathbed, how much of that, was any of that real?
No.
With Myrtle?
Yes.
No, that was put upon her.
Now, what about
by
her
Myrtle.
Scene with the Axeman in bed saying, "I don't want to fall apart"?
I think
that was a real
scene
in
her life. Only because he asked her to run away to Paris. He was like, "Let's just go to Paris and you can live out your days there." And she's like, "I don't want you to see me
like
die
that.
In
and
a couple
other
months
was like
and
a
just
going to
be a hairless, toothless monster."
I mean, we know she's vulnerable. Like, hello, the first two or three episodes, all she did was talk about how she wanted to stay forever young and that she was on this journey. And then it's sort of fallen off that storyline a little bit because she's gotten cancer and it's switched to the whole voodoo versus witch magic and all of that thing. But, I mean, it's deep-seated in her. She's tried a lot of things to maintain her beauty and she cannot beat cancer at this point.
I mean, she tells the Axeman that she'll stay alive just to spite the witches.
Right.
You know, so she still seems like she has it in her.
She has some fight in her, but it's sort of like... At a certain point,
I know
how much more fighting can you do when you know the inevitable?
Absolutely.
And, in her case,
and that it's and that it's ugly.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest issue for her.
I agree. That's I think the biggest thing that she's afraid of is becoming an ugly person and not being able to take care of herself and not being able to, you know, do her magic, which is such a big part of her.
Right.
So if. Though she figured out who the Supreme was, would her cancer just go away? And like, if she killed her, would her cancer just be done?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a question that has been.
I don't think they've drawn the line yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we know enough about it. I mean, if you guys have heard anything different or analyzing the episode different than we are, please let us know in the comments below or tweet us. But you know, we were talking about spite.
Yes.
And. The next thing that happened in the episode was spiteful and also sort of disgusting. We don't know about you guys, but did Luke get a bleach enema from Patty LuPone?
Right.
Oh my god.
And how is that like a proper punishment? Like I could understand if he
purity.
Had sex.
She's
I know,
cleaning him.
But he didn't do anything impure. He hung out with her.
What she thinks happened, whether or not it was pure or not pure, it's what his mother
He was in the house.
Yes, so she wants to clean him from the inside out. And the only way to do that is to clearly give him an enema.
With Ajax or some kind of bleach.
Which I feel like would kill you.
It would be very...
It was kind of weird, though, because he sat down in the bathtub. Like, if you're... I mean,
no, that is
I don't want to get, like, too graphic with, like, how an enema works, but, like...
Your legs have to be up in the air.
No, they don't.
Don't they?
No.
I feel like they do.
No.
I mean...
We're finding out a lot about each other tonight.
This
I have never had
but
an enema.
But Nan hears him screaming. Like, a bleach enema would be so painful, obviously.
Well, I feel like it would kill
and
you,
And when
though.
She would, like, take off your clothes, I mean, we all screamed. We were like, oh, no, not another creeping mother.
And like, to me, it sounds like, or it looks like, she's done this before.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, immediately, he knew what was coming.
Immediately, as she mixed her little potion in the bag, her purity potion, he... freaked out.
But he took it.
He had the Frank and Kyle face.
Yeah, and he didn't run.
Oh, God, he did. It was so...
But he took it, and he, like, accepted his punishment.
He took it.
And you know what? Again, the theme with the whole entire season.
Weak men.
Weak men.
And powerless.
But also, like, crazed demonic women as well. She's not a witch, as far as we know. She's just crazy.
Well, that, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, as far as we know. As far as we know now, she's just crazy. And I feel like Nan...
I like her brand of crazy, though.
I really felt for Nan, though, when Nan was like, she's hurting him, and she wanted to go save him.
And Fiona's like, sit down, shut up.
Foxy, excuse me.
Cordelia's like, sit down, shut up. Anything that's happening outside of this room is unimportant. We need to talk. Time is of the essence.
We need to kill Fiona.
So this was the second time in this episode that we've seen a different side of Cordelia, a.k.a. Foxy. The fierce side. And I saw this scene. One of our fans tweeted out this scene to us earlier in the week. And we thought it was a spoiler, but in fact it wasn't.
I got really scared.
Yeah, Sarah was all upset. No, Kyle tweeted out, thank you, Kyle,
thank
for
you,
that
Kyle.
Link. Also, if you guys follow along on Twitter and hashtag FanCoven, we have conversations all week. So you can, you know, tune in. With us. Tweet us.
You want to be obsessed all week. Yeah. Join us. Hashtag FanCoven.
So Cordelia is plotting to kill Fiona. And in the midst of that, Misty Day arrives.
Misty Day's freaking out.
Ding dong.
Like, I need help. I need someone to... She's basically like, I need asylum because someone's trying to kill me. Mm-hmm. Which flashback sort of a little bit to the return of Myrtle.
Right.
Which is so great.
I did not even realize who it was. Did you guys know?
Because her voice and like covered in dirt.
And like, I thought it was maybe a man at first.
Me too.
Or like one of those Everglade type people that you just can't be, you just can't
Everglade
be sure.
Everglade people.
You know what I mean?
Like planter.
Down. Maybe some of them genetics.
You've
have been
watching too many reality shows on TLC.
Ariana. Perhaps.
Swamp people.
Zombie. Have you ever seen Hills Have Eyes?
Yes.
I was thinking that kind of person out of the swamp.
I know.
Gotcha.
That's what I was
thinking.
Gotcha.
People of
but
the hills.
Myrtle is back and she's like, I'm good girl, but there's a guy outside. That's basically what she said.
Totally.
She's like, I'm good, but you're going to die because there's a guy outside with a shotgun. Let's go.
Who is
Post-haste.
Hank?
We assume it's Hank because the guy was hooded.
Yeah, right. There could be a whole troop of witch hunters. We have no idea.
Yes.
But we know Hank is sort of Marie Laveau's, like, lurch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
We also know he's he doesn't have any inventive fashion sense. So, like, the Navy.
That's true.
The Navy buddy is kind of standard fare for assassin.
That's very true.
That's what he's been wearing the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. And so she comes to the house. Foxy touches her and is like, ooh, you're Misty Day. You're welcome here any day of the week. Welcome.
And that was great because we got to see we don't quite know her story.
Right.
But we got to really see the like play-by-play of her.
Which was really cool.
Really cool.
It was cool.
To see her like go up in flames and then go into the mud and then come up.
The cinematography of that, like I loved the way they played that out.
The editing.
The production of it, and just it told a story in like less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Which was great as a viewer.
Yeah, because that's all we really needed.
Yeah. I agree. It was expeditious.
Yeah.
So wait, are we decided that she resurged herself back to life? Is that?
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, she has that power.
Because
who put her in the mud?
It's very possible
that they toss her in the mud?
That's what I'm saying, that they set her on fire and then were like, into the swamp you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's but, like, bad. Maybe she did something.
But does the swamp have powers? Like, what, you know, like, so the swamp has been able to heal. We've never even addressed this. The swamp has been able to heal these people.
A lot of people, yeah.
And, you know, heal their scars and everything, sort of make them as human as possible. As they can look as human as possible. Is the swamp magic? Like,
is it
have
magic?
You thought about this?
Is it magic only with Misty's touch?
Yeah, like, I'm confused.
You know, I personally have thought about it because every time they talk about the swamp and the swamp mud, I think of Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Lestat goes into the swamp and survives that as well.
Mm. Interesting.
We may want to do some research, or fans, if you are interested. I'm sure there's a history of the healing powers of swamp mud.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this somehow must play into the American story, if you will. But we just may hopefully they will be forthcoming about, is this just a backstory that we should already know? Because we don't live in the South, we don't know.
Right, or because we don't live in New Orleans, we don't know.
New Orleans people tell us.
Yeah.
Or anyone.
It's not a New Orleans thing.
Anyone that wants to Google.
Mm. Yeah. Let us know. Tweet us. But she immediately, Misty immediately is like,
I have a friend.
Thank you. Can my friend stay here too? I mean, she's very forthcoming with being like, thanks for the house. I got a friend out back.
Yeah.
They're going to stay as well.
But then Cordelia was like,
oh, hey.
Oh, hey, girl. I missed you.
Yeah. Not like,
thought you were gone forever.
How did you get back here? You know?
Well, I mean, it's Misty Day. Yeah, she should have assumed it, you know, that she's going to have like a troop of like undead people following her.
You know, it was really interesting. When Foxy, Cordelia, and Myrtle embrace, I think it's the first time that Foxy doesn't have some kind of emotional flash where she sees.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to
she,
see
like,
something.
Already knew stuff.
I think she already knows everything there is to know about Myrtle. I'm not sure what that is about.
Well, she also didn't have a flash when Fiona touched her at the end.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know.
Maybe she could control it now.
But that was at the end, exactly. Mm-hmm. So she gets this. It was the first time so far that she didn't have a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what that meant, other than maybe there's no secrets there.
I did really notice, I thought, I don't know if it was just the pausing or what, but I felt like they really made it known, like, at the end when Fiona touched her, like, she didn't have a flash. Like, that was...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, so twice in the episode.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with her not having any secrets between Myrtle. I do think because, you know, I guess now we can have a clearer vision as to... you know, who actually threw the acid on Foxy and that it wasn't Myrtle because she would be able to see that it was Myrtle that did it.
Right.
So. Process of elimination.
Good call.
And that was exactly what I was thinking is that, you know, she doesn't have a flash and it looks like this ability of hers helps her see the truth about the certain person and especially regarding what their relationship
is.
Interesting.
And then, you know.
I like it. And then Myrtle's like, behold our new supreme.
Hey, Misty.
And Misty's like, who? She like turns all around, all dopey eyed, and is like, what?
I'm not a leader.
Which is very sweet. I mean, she is sort of like a small town girl, and she does say later on, I'm not what you would call a natural born leader.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you guys, though, every time they. Like, sort of say someone is the next Supreme, you kind of know, okay.
They're not.
You're definitely
not. So that kind of made me a little sad. I was like, oh, man.
But they decide, as the coven comes together and the plan is starting to unfold, they decide to go through this ritual called the Sacred Taking, which is where we get our episode title from.
Right.
Is
that a real thing? I wanted to know. I wanted to Google, but I didn't have time.
Oh, interesting.
Somebody
hey, guys, this just in.
Because they did a history thing.
Tell us.
One of our fans tweeted the healing of the swamp.
Oh, awesome.
Or the herbs.
Let us know.
Healing herbs. So if you follow us on Twitter, you'll get our handles
hashtag
at the end of the show.
Kevin.
I will retweet what I was just tweeted. We will leave that as
can
a secret
you read
so
it?
You can follow us.
No, read it. I want to know.
There's a healing herb. That's all I'm going to tell you.
In
very
the mud.
Cool.
That is so
there's
cool.
a healing herb. Carl Myers. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Carl.
Is that why, like, there's mud masks and stuff, too? I don't want to get into, like, a hole.
Oh,
like,
yeah, let's not get into
probably.
That.
Look at my Twitter later.
All right.
Let's go get some Louisiana mud and put on our faces.
I know, right?
Back to the Sacred Taking.
Yeah.
So the Sacred Taking, which has only been performed three other times in the coven's history. The first time was in 1699. 92.
Which is the one they only talk about.
I know. Right.
Which was very interesting to me that I was like writing down the, I wrote down the date. I was like, okay, what's the next date?
Same.
Never came up.
Never.
It kind of made me feel like they probably did it and took it out in post because it was going to make the episode too long. Mm. Like, why do you start a list and not finish it?
Well, why tell us such a long story of the first time?
I felt like it was a list. Like, there was going to be a, then we were going to hear about the other ones.
Yeah.
But maybe that's also a setup. That we're going to have to do another sacred taking ceremony.
Oh, and then she'll be like, the second time.
Who knows? It does sort of seem like a tee-up because we know it didn't work.
Yeah, that's true.
So we find out it's the most hallowed sacrifice a Supreme can make because what she does is she kills herself in order
for
the
next Supreme can rise.
Exactly.
And lead the coven.
To safety.
Yes.
Because I'm assuming it's something that you do. It's
in like crisis.
In a crisis.
That's what they said. It's a ritual. It's a, ritual used in time of crisis.
So the the first one that we know about, she wasn't mentally there? Is that?
She had consumption.
She
which is like tuberculosis, basically.
Okay.
And she couldn't make the journey that they needed to make to get to safety. So she was like,
I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you guys are going to take over. And you guys run without me. I'll be good here. No, I won't. I'm gonna die.
So they do this.
So they do this thing, and MM is sort of like, guys, don't be retarded. She's not going to kill herself,
right?
And Fiona's like, Foxy is not. She's not. Cause Foxy says she's not gonna do it without some coaxing,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I have to just say that scene with MM in the red dress. Fans, can you please find out
what she was wearing?
Because. It was amazing, her dress.
She was so glam.
The light on her hair, and also, I think, honestly, an acting performance. I don't think that she's that great of an actress, but that performance was fantastic.
It was amazing.
She really nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, she just rubbed it in Fiona's face. Poor Fifi. You're going to be hash browns tomorrow.
I love how she called her Fifi.
Well, MM gives her an ultimatum. She's like, look, you killed me and Myrtle. Which, by the way, we're both still alive.
Right.
Surprise.
Surprise. And I brought myself back from the dead, which is a total lie.
Right.
I'm the Supreme.
And I'm the Supreme, by the way. So either you kill yourself or tomorrow you're going to burn at the stake because all I need to do is call the council and you're dead.
Right.
So then Myrtle comes and...
Oh my God.
Fiona's sort of like, what is everyone just coming back from the dead now?
Right.
Poor Fiona. It really works on her, though.
I mean
it pushes her over. What does she say? She says, oh no, I'm afraid about that. MM has a dreadful case of the mini me's. She's just like you.
I think she's like mini me's.
No, mini me's.
Mini me's.
Oh, did
she
say
just like Fiona. Like, she's going to take over your post. She's evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, Madison. MM.
But she does tell Fiona,
MM would be such
you
a
will
good
die as you I lived, know. Alone and disappointed by everyone.
But did you love that when Fiona was prepared to die, she was like, grab me my fur.
And Myrtle goes, oh, you're preparing the corpse.
When she walked in and she was putting on makeup, like, that was, we all, like, died laughing. I don't think there's, like, ever a time where we all, like, a belly laugh. Yeah. And that was, like, the funniest because it was her dry delivery,
it's
too.
Such
she's
a
like,
good
oh.
line.
That's
great.
Oh,
it's
you're
hilarious.
Preparing the corpse.
It's lovely, darling.
Great.
She's putting on her makeup. She's got, like, a urban turban on. Yeah.
And she's kind of waxing poetic about how she never wanted to be the last one at the party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, to always know when to leave. It's not a good look to be the last one at the party.
To not overstay your welcome.
I was a little bit surprised that she was so... I thought for sure that, like, she had something cooking. Like, she wasn't going to take those pills like it looked like she did or something. But it seemed like she really did, you know?
You know, I sort of applaud, not to say that I'm condoning killing yourself... If you are sick like she is, I think you should fight to the end. But...
Oh, really? What did you say in the room?
That is my own, you know.
That's how you'd go out.
That is how I would go out.
You would prepare the corpse, take the pills, and lay in your fur on the bed looking fabulous.
Yes.
I concur.
Right? You know, I applaud that, you know.
She's defeated.
She is defeated, and you know what? She's accepting the fact, and she's like, you know what? If I'm going to die, I'm going to die, and I'm going to look the way that I want to look.
With dignity.
With some sort of dignity.
Mm-hmm.
But then she takes the freaking pills,
so she
and Spalding,
of all people,
comes back as a spirit.
Yeah.
talking.
Were you that surprised that he was there?
Yes.
I was.
I mean, the Axeman was there.
This is the thing. We talk about the theme all the time. That men are sort of powerless, but this is the first time that, like, he is stepping in to save her, and his whole family has overlooked their
for
300 years.
How creepy is it to say that I come from a clan of watchers? I find that to be quite disturbing. Like,
yeah,
what does that mean? First of all,
the Axeman is kind of a watcher, though. Mm-hmm.
But a deep clan of watchers.
When I hear watcher, I think voyeur? Of someone, not a voyeur in creepy? Like a weird, sexy type of way. I think of a person who's a watcher who has an employer. They see everything, but they don't say anything.
Mm.
They're, you know what I mean? Like, they are watchers. Mm-hmm. They
are watching over.
Correct.
But they also watch over the house.
No, I don't think it was meant in a creepy way. He was like, look, I come from a clan of watchers, and now I see everything. And she's like, look, I want to die. And he's like, bullshit.
Right.
He's like, you're not going to be a martyr.
Plotting against you.
You're not a martyr. Okay.
And he gives her the Ipecac, and he's like, you need to throw this crap up, which I was very confused about how a spirit was able to hand her anything.
Well, the magic of spirits. Mm, yeah. But also what I was thinking, too, about him having a voice now and how he's like, you know, I've been given a voice, but he's also in this sort of like eternal no man's land.
Yeah.
And then I wrote down ghost servant. So like now he's even less of a man than he was before. Yeah. Like he's got a voice, but he's nothing. Yeah. And he's trapped.
Right.
And he's still a servant. But I think he likes it that way.
I know. He seemed happy.
He seemed really happy.
Well, I mean, he can spend as much time with Fiona as he wants.
Yeah.
Now, and when she dies, he can serve her in the afterlife.
Maybe.
Which would be totally weird.
Serve her in the afterlife? God.
Is there? Did someone say, is there an afterlife?
Yeah, is there for her? I don't know.
Oh, for her. I was like, hello, Spalding is there.
No, but I mean.
but how good point. So Spalding is a ghost now, spirit.
Yeah.
Are there any other spirits in the house? Are there any spirits that are going
to
come out?
There has to be. Other people have died there.
Is this season one all over again? Like,
are
there.
Interesting. I don't think he's like haunting.
No, he's not haunting.
He's just hanging
out. He's just watching.
He's trapped.
Exactly, watching.
Yeah,
But she throws up the pills and
she's back
and Myrtle is playing Schubert's Last Sonata.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is so great and so fitting. But you know
they're really enjoying it because they think she's currently
She's dying.
Dying.
They're playing dying music.
Yeah.
I mean it is fitting, but it is kind of bizarre.
Totally awesome.
And they're asking Missy Day, do you feel anything? Do you feel anything? Do you feel anything?
Yeah.
She's like, who?
And then Foxy's like, you'll feel a tingling in the toes. And Myrtle's like, that's funny. I always thought it started in the cooter.
She is hilarious
now. She's got some great one-liners.
Yeah. Great one-liners.
Now that she's come back from the dead.
Totally.
Yeah.
She has a sense of humor now.
Yeah.
She was really uptight before, and now she's fun.
She's died.
I died.
Yeah, what else can happen?
We're all good now.
We're good now. I'm back from the dead. But then Fiona walks in and she's like, I got a splitting headache.
And they're
boom.
Like, oh, God.
Boom. Myrtle. Missy Day's gone.
Missy Day disappears
Disappears. To what we find out, where Nan had run out earlier when they were talking about who could be the next Supreme and blah, blah, blah.
They're
and
like,
Nan's
it's
like,
definitely
well, it's clearly
not.
Sister. What's her face? Zoe tells the MM, well, it's not you because you died.
Yeah.
And MM's like, what do you think it's you? And Nana's like, I think it's me. And MM's like, it's not you because your pits smell like
fish sticks.
Fish sticks. Which makes no sense.
And then Zoe just didn't stick up for her, so she was
kind of like,
well, because Zoe thinks it's her.
Here's the thing.
Self.
If Nan can hear other people's thoughts, why hasn't she heard that one, the unsaid one?
What?
Do you know what I mean? That she has a chromosomal defect, therefore.
They
eliminating
might
her.
Not have that written into the script.
That, yeah.
But they were saying genetic defects, like the heart murmur.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That character might not have a genetic defect. The actor might.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
I see where you're going with this, yes.
Is that the character doesn't have Down syndrome, but the actress does.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting idea.
I mean, that's kind of how I saw it, too.
Yeah.
Hard to follow for me.
Yeah, I'll explain later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she runs out, she goes next door, And she finds Luke tied up in the closet.
That was really random to me. Did
tied up and
else?
Gagged in the closet. Well, his mom has left for the evening or whatever. She's gone to
That's
bed.
That's what she does every night.
And she's like, you're not going anywhere. I'm going to tie your ass up. To keep him there.
Okay.
Punishment.
Punishment. Whatever. He's being punished. He got it. That's the least
Mama
of
June.
His concerns.
Some Mama June.
Right. I would take getting locked up in the closet, tied and gagged over Ajax enema any day.
Mm. Wow. I can't believe you just made that comparison.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Of all the choices we have to choose from.
Between the two.
And he just got stabbed in the back by a zombie.
Come on. So, between all three of those things. Anyway.
So they walk down the stairs.
They walk down the stairs and they're leaving. They're getting into fights. He's fighting with his mom. Mm-hmm.
But before that, when Nan ran over there, we saw Hank sitting outside mm-hmm. the house. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, ready for
he's
something.
He's watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's watching.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he has a deadline. He needs yeah. to get rid of these bitch witches. Come yeah. on.
And he shoots the mom, and he goes to shoot Nan, but not Luke. And Luke jumps in front of the bullet, but apparently doesn't die.
Well, we don't know.
They said the mom is dead,
with a head wound.
And he has a head wound.
Right.
Not a mortal head wound. He just has a head wound.
He has a head wound.
Hmm. Which I don't know what means, but Misty is then coaxed by Fiona yeah. to bring...
I have a big question about this, by the way.
To
but
bring,
go
her, to bring her back. And so she brings her back from the dead, and then she passes out.
Okay.
Is that your question?
No, that okay. is not my question. Here is my question. So, the Supreme has certain powers,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay, so Fiona seemed like super into the fact that Misty has the power of resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
And I was under the impression, and I guess I'm wrong, but I was under the impression that the Supreme has, like, a set of powers, that every Supreme has the same set. But
yes.
because Fiona seems so like, oh my gosh, you have the power of resurgence... She doesn't have it, obviously.
She does.
She does.
She does? Does.
We've
yeah.
seen her do it. She says to her,
but
you're like, when, did we, when have we seen her do it?
She did it to the baby,
the
remember?
Right, but, like, why doesn't she do it? Like we
What she says is, yeah, listen
okay.
to me.
Gotcha.
She says, it's so rare to find a witch with the power of resurgence.
Right.
I would like to see it. Which means, leads me to believe that the power of resurgence comes every so often. Mm-hmm. As a singular power.
Okay.
Despite
oh, okay.
the
As
despite
a
the fact
okay.
that she has it herself.
Gotcha.
Right.
I just was a little like Fiona seemed very interested in the fact that she has that, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then she passes out, which leads me to believe because we don't get any more talk of Misty for the rest of the episode, mm-hmm. and then Fiona touches the bullet and says that it's spelled.
Well, Cordelia finds the bullet outside.
Cordelia finds it, but later on when Foxy and Fiona are talking. She picks up the bullet and she's like, what's this? She's like, oh, it's a bullet. I found it outside. She picks it up and she drops it immediately and she says, it's spelled.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silver
mm-hmm.
bullet that's been spelled. And I think when Misty brought back Patty LuPone, something
Great.
Happened to her.
Maybe.
Because
I didn't
of
even
the
think
silver
of that.
Bullet.
Because of the silver bullet that was spelled.
Oh, no.
Because we've never seen her bring someone back from
and
the dead
out.
And pass out like that.
That was a great catch.
Well, we know Misty's going to be okay because
Stevie's coming, so
yeah.
we know she's fine.
Stevie's coming.
But, you know, it's just like one of those things.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
That they didn't touch upon in the episode.
Not yet.
Yet.
But you're absolutely right on about that. We haven't seen her react that way
Mm-mm.
to resurgence
yeah.
in any other
But we haven't
time.
Really, have we ever seen her,
yes.
like, resurrect someone without... like using
Mud.
The swamp and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Madison.
Madison,
right.
And the
but
bird.
She did it in like a weird.
Oh, yeah, and the bird.
But she never just like, she just like touched this woman.
Yeah, she may have used all her energy.
She may
yeah.
have exhausted
I mean, we
her.
Don't know.
We don't know. But you know, it's just something
anyway,
to think about.
Interesting. Okay.
We also, teeny tiny storyline before we move on for the evening with. Oh, God, their names.
Frankie okay.
Laveau.
Oh.
Laveau
yeah,
and Delphine.
And Delphine.
Mm-hmm.
Where Delphine, Queenie comes back and is feeding Delphine, and Laveau is sort of being taunted by Delphine. She's like, you know what? Get me a glass of water, or get me something to drink in a clean glass so I can enjoy my food in peace and quiet, you stupid bitch. Mm-hmm. And Angela Bassett's like, you know what? You should be taunting me from that side of the cage. And Delphine is sort of like, what are you going to do? Kill me? I can't die.
Snaps her hand off.
cuts her freaking hand off.
Yeah. Snaps it
she
off.
She just snaps it off. How it just came off.
Badass is that?
It was kind of, it didn't surprise me necessarily because I felt like it was leading that way, but mm-hmm. First of all, it snapped off very easily.
Right.
Or Madame Laveau is, really is very strong, which is probably the case.
Did she's you see strong. Her arms, Oriana?
I did see her arms. She's a very powerful woman. But, wow. I just thought, ruh-roh.
It's so badass, though.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I mean, and then later
it, like,
on.
It, rolled out.
So great. Later on in the episode, her head comes in a box.
Yeah.
And is like, help.
And of course we all laughed at that moment. I don't know.
Yeah,
if it was
that's
amazing.
Pretty silly.
This like weird, breathy, super bloody weird. Head
well,
just
I mean,
saying help.
We knew it because of the Entertainment Weekly cover yeah. from 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But one more thing that happened that we totally need to talk about. Yeah. We didn't talk about Frank and Kyle this whole episode.
Yes.
The three-way continues.
Yeah. So we still find out that Madison and Zoe are sharing Frank and Kyle.
Or so she thinks.
Yeah. And so
Kyle
weird.
Is being taught how to speak.
Kyle says words. He says, I love you to Zoe.
And this road leads
goes two ways. Yeah. That was like the cutest line ever.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I have
adorable.
To say, in that moment, I stopped hating on the pairing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was really.
Oh, the two of them?
Yeah, I do.
But MM saw that or heard that.
And is and soaking is wet and crying. I mean, because I guess she just took a shower.
She was just ready for some after shower sex, you know?
Well,
I guess she showers a lot.
She
has wet hair. She must bathe like 4 times a day.
She may have some issues.
Oh,
well, we know she has issues.
We know she
has
issues.
As much as I felt bad for her, like, oh, that's sad for her. She has acted so carelessly with everyone around her.
It's true, but I feel like that. Kyle is the first person that she's been able to get a real connection with because they share the
but
fact that they both died.
Not
and came
a real
back to
connection.
Life. It's not a real connection.
It's a forced connection because he doesn't feel it for her. She feels it for him and she's forcing it
she's
on
him. She's projecting.
Yeah, he's like totally connected with Zoe from the get go. So it's like.
And MM only wants what other people have.
Right.
Like she doesn't ever want anything for herself. She has to go in and like take other people's things.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever.
I think that's...
I love MM, but
that's
pretty much the whole
episode. The one thing
episode.
I wanted to touch on was just that the closing was how, you know, literally Cordelia doesn't...
Yeah.
You know, she faces her mother and just says, listen, I plotted to kill you, and it didn't work out, unfortunately,
so
but I'm not going to apologize. Like, I had to do what I did. And the surprising result, I mean, not that surprising, but I think to her is, she's like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Thank goodness for that, and
but also,
I have hope for the coven.
Here's this silver bullet. Can you help us? I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah, she was like, we need you now. I'm glad you're still here.
Yeah.
You know, Fiona said she appreciated the grit
That's
it
the
took
rub.
To put together a murder plot like that, and now she's proud.
Yeah.
And then now that they need Fiona more than ever, I mean, because there's a witch hunter on the loose. It's just, wow,
AKA
how things
Delia's
change.
You know,
give
the circumstances.
Yeah.
The circumstances, and that's the rub. I mean, thank God that she didn't die, because apparently she's the only one that knows what to do.
She knows what's up.
Yeah.
Supreme.
She's the Supreme. Yeah. And that's our episode.
Wow,
so good.
I'm so
I was
excited
so
for
happy for
week.
It. Really excited for next week.
I have news and gossip.
Do you?
We
Let's
do.
Jump into news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Some casting news today. Fringe star Lance Reddick is joining American Horror Story, and he is playing a voodoo version of Satan.
Interesting.
I know.
Cute.
But it's a man.
Creepy question. Or?
Very, very handsome African American man.
Oh, nice.
Dapper.
Ooh, I hope we get to see an 8-pack. I was just thinking a Satan that would not have a shirt on.
Okay.
I would appreciate
I'm
that.
Sure.
Okay. Well, also with the announcement, we do find out that he is sort of the key to Marie Laveau's beauty. And that hints at maybe she sold her soul to him. So I have a feeling that she has an enemy, and it comes in the form of this voodoo Satan. So he is going to show up after the Christmas break in the last 4 episodes, which we found out that it is going to be very Marie Laveau heavy. So I'm excited because I love Angela Bassett.
The last 4 episodes will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we sort of got a sneak peek this week. Someone said a war is coming. I think Queenie said it in the beginning of the episode. A war is coming.
And you're going to lose.
And you're going to lose, bitches.
Exactly.
Any other news?
I was so busy eating.
I know.
I didn't do any of that stuff.
No. I was baking.
That is all this week. But, you know, if you guys follow us on Twitter, we constantly tweet all week about the wonderful things that are going on in the world of American Horror Story.
And we always look at everything and do our best to respond to everybody. But it's always great when you guys find stuff and send
we
it our way.
Your comments.
We do. So keep doing that.
We'll love it more if you go on iTunes and you give us 5 stars and you follow the podcast, download it every week, and spread the cheer, spread the love.
To it multiple times.
Yeah. I know, because the more you guys talk about our show, the better feedback we get. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can book some cooler guests.
We're working on some pretty awesome cool guests up in the upcoming weeks.
So let us know who you'd like to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yay.
We'll do our best to get them on the show. But let's jump into predictions.
All right.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do you guys get?
Mine is totally random.
I'd love to hear a random one.
It just popped in my head when I was watching, and I wrote, I predict Frank and Kyle will take out Hank the Skank.
Oh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I think he's going to see an opportunity to do something good. Because he wants to be good, and his raw power, he'll be like, Kyle, kill Batman.
Like caveman.
Like caveman.
But he's getting less caveman-like,
right.
I would
It will be his grand gesture of, like, humanity. He'll save the girls.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's what I think.
Is that your only one?
That's my only one.
Awesome.
I am excited to see Cordelia and Fiona band together. Because I think that they're coming together for the first time, because they've sort of always opposed each other, whether
ever in life.
Fake niceness. But now, this with this clarity this week, I'm excited to see them join forces, and I'm excited for Foxy to see again.
Yes, that's right.
Me too.
What do you got, Sarah?
Gosh, I really don't have anything. I don't like predicting. Is that weird?
I just like to kind of see
what happens. I do think that because Delia can see again, does that mean she doesn't see the truth anymore?
Great question.
Or, like, I'm wondering that. I'm thinking that's the case, that she loses that power. Okay. And because I don't think she's going to find out next week that Hank is her witch hunter.
Interesting. My only prediction is that we're going to be seeing Patti LuPone come out as a witch, which is why she hides behind her religion.
Interesting.
Oh.
Okay.
That's my only prediction.
Because she was the first shot.
The first shot was to her, and that was the kill shot.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Look at you. Throwing it down.
Throwing it down. Because, I mean, why else would he be shooting her?
Right.
So
there's got to be something there. Yeah. Let's throw out our Twitter handles so that everyone can follow us. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff.
I'm on Twitter at Sarah on the Go, Sarah with an H.
I'm on Twitter at Jillian Leff, or my website, JillianLeff.com. And be sure to give us a thumbs up on YouTube and share the link.
Yes, on Twitter, it's Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram, Oriana Leo, and we love your comments on YouTube. Please
love.
Comment, rate us. This is actually an all-volunteer group, believe it or not.
Yes.
We are so professional, but we do come in here as an all-volunteer group because we love the show and we love what we do. So when you guys support us, follow us, retweet the links, it shows AfterBuzz TV how much you love us, and we can hopefully get some things done around here for you guys.
So from everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV studio, family, we want to say thank you, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.